Obi-Wan and Anakin hurried out of Stadium 5. At the quarters, they passed the security checkpoint and quickly accessed a map for directions to Block 7, Room 4116. They hurried down the outdoor walkways that connected the various temporary buildings, built of hard duroplastoid materials in bright colors. When they reached Block 7, they took a moving walkway up to the fourth story. A tall humanoid male came out of a door at the end of the walkway. He paused while he carefully placed various personal items in different sized pockets. His neutral gaze slid over the surrounding area and lit on the Jedi. He jumped, and a look of surprised panic lit his eyes. He turned abruptly and headed the other way. Arno Daring, Obi-Wan called, quickening his pace. We'd like to talk to you. Daring began to run. Obi-Wan and Anakin leaped forward in a surge of speed. Daring had a good head start, but he was no athlete. When Daring raced out an exit from the quarters and into the street, Obi-Wan was merely steps away. Suddenly, a fast-moving airspeeder headed straight for Daring. Obi-Wan reached out, ready to grab the waving hem of the man's tunic. But the speeder struck the slight man first, sending him flying through the air. Arno Daring landed with a sickening thud. Go to him, Obi-Wan ordered Anakin tersely. Obi-Wan jumped after the speeder. Landing on the speeder's outrigger component, Obi-Wan drew his lightsaber and severed it with one stroke. The speeder veered and crashed into a bright yellow bench, and the pilot leaped out. Obi-Wan recognized him instantly as the pilot of the air taxi. The pilot leaped over the speeder and raced down the street. Without breaking stride, he shot a cable launcher up to the roof of a high building. The cable launcher pulled him up, and he disappeared onto the roof. Obi-Wan activated his own launcher and followed, the wind rushing past his ears. He jumped onto the roof just as the pilot leaped to the next building. Obi-Wan followed. The pilot never looked back. Obi-Wan noted his coolness. There were not many being pursued who did not pause to check on the location of their pursuer. The pilot raced to the edge of the roof that overlooked the street. The pilot paused and activated his anti-grav propulsion belt. It allowed him to drop off the roof and land safely on the walkway below. Obi-Wan leaped down and had to swerve at the last moment to avoid a child who suddenly darted out from between her mother and father. He landed hard. He was just in time to see the pilot get swallowed up by the surging crowd. Irritation flamed and died away. He would have liked to have caught the pilot. It did not happen. On to the next. He made his way back to the quarters. Anakin knelt by Arno Daring, his hand on the man's shoulder. Obi-Wan knew immediately that he was dead. When Arno Daring left his room, did you notice anything significant? Obi-Wan asked. He watched as his Padawan frowned, thinking. He was just sliding his data pad into his tunic with his left hand. He dropped it when he saw us. It fell in the doorway and the door did not shut. Exactly, Obi-Wan said. I think we might want to take a peek into the life of Arno Daring. They passed through the security gate again and quickly made their way to Daring's room. The data pad lay in the doorway. Obi-Wan handed it to Anakin and reached down for a small folder that had been dropped as well. In it was a text doc ID for someone named Ak Durank. It's a false text doc for Arno Daring, he told Anakin. Often new identities use the same initials as the being's real name. It helps them to remember their new identity. But what does it mean? Anakin asked. Why would Daring want a new identity? There's only one reason, Obi-Wan said. He was afraid he would get caught. The question is why? Obi-Wan surveyed the room. It was small and neat. Everything was put away. A closed travel pack sat on a table. Two chronos sat by the sleep couch. Obi-Wan picked them up. They are set to wake him up, he said. He used two so that he would not oversleep. He placed them back where he'd found them. Interesting. A chrono expert who does not trust chronos. Master, look at this. Anakin bent over a holofile. He's noted the events that he set up the timing system for. The bowcaster skill contest and the holographic obstacle course are the only ones left. But Master, Anakin looked up. The pod race is here too. Obi-Wan came over and studied the file. So, whoever is behind fixing the games could be fixing the pod race too. What I don't understand is how a pod race can be fixed, Anakin said. It's not like an obstacle swoop race where individual segments are timed. Whoever crosses the finish line first wins. Obi-Wan nodded. I see what you mean. But it can't be a coincidence that the corrupt timing judge has agreed to time the race. He stared at the neat belongings of Arno Dering while he considered their next step. He knew it was inevitable, but he didn't like it. He would have to send Anakin back to the pod racers. This could be a larger scale operation than I thought, he said aloud. Anakin, you must go back to the pod racers. Obi-Wan did not like the way Anakin's face brightened at this. You have made friends with Dobie and Deland. See if they know how the race could be fixed and if there's heavy betting going on. And what will you do, Master? I'm going to work from the opposite end. If we want to find out who is fixing the events, we have to find out who benefits. That means that someone, or a group of beings, are placing bets on the outcome. But how can you discover who that is? I have to reacquaint myself with Uso.